We light these candles to remind ourselves and our children of our work to create a world that is fair and caring. We strive to make the spaces we inhabit peace sites dedicated to promoting peace. We affirm the sacredness of sexuality and gender diversity. We honor all sexual orientations and gender identities, as well as people who have none, and deeply value each other's authenticity. We continue on our journey toward undoing prejudice, racism, and oppression, our journey as individuals, as a community, and as participants in the wider world. We understand disability as a culture, lived history, and embodied experience, and a product of disabling oppressions in society. We work to enable full access and interdependence in our faith community. We are given this one earth and seek to honor this truth by caring for our buildings, our grounds, and all places on this earth in ways that respect the interconnected web of all existence, of which we are but a part. In this spirit, we gather, looking toward the day when all people are inside the candle's warmth and light.
Welcome to the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossings Online. I am Reverend Yadani Hailu, and I have served as the temporary minister of this congregation while Reverend Kim was on parental leave until, drumroll, this week. Please join me in welcoming Reverend Kim. You can see her at the top of your screen is back at UUCWC's worship services. Woo! So glad to see you, Reverend Kim. You will have more chances to welcome and hear from Reverend Kim later in the service and beyond. And I'm so glad also to welcome everyone into this time, especially if it's your first time with us this morning. A special welcome to you. Because no matter how we gather, in person or online, we know it's a brave thing to explore a community for the first time. I hope you will recognize in this hour together that we are a congregation striving to create community, celebrate life, and change the world. If after this morning's service you would like to know more about us, please fill out the digital visitor's card at the link provided in the chat so we can learn a bit about you and us a bit about, and we can learn about you and you can learn about us. Additionally, if you are in need of closed captioning, you can turn it on by clicking on the bottom of your screen, the square with the letters CC or live transcript. Click there and on this option, show subtitle. If you do not wish to see closed captioning, go to that same square and click hide subtitle. I want to thank our team of tech hosts, MJ Hansen, Michelle Zechner, and Heather Edwards, who are behind the scenes and making our time today possible. I want to lift up MJ and Lori O'Neill, who create the videos and slides we see each week, Steve Ryan, and one of Steve's students, Riley Boltemeyer, for the music, and Noelle Caney, this week's worship associate. This month, we are talking creativity, how we can be who we are becoming, and what adaptation and play can make possible in the now. Creativity is a resource in myself I have found was less welcomed in the seriousness of adulthood, but I have returned to it time and time again for the sake of survival, for resilience, for healing, and relationship. Let's buckle in and contemplate outside of the box this month and invite creativity into our everyday for the betterment of all. One more thing, while we sing our opening hymn, I encourage you who are willing and able to find a drawing utensil and some paper for our story time later. If you don't have access, don't worry, you can still participate. Please join in singing our opening hymn, Just As Long As I Have Breath. The lyrics are in the chat.
Just as long as I have breath, I must answer yes to life. Though with pain I made my way, still with hope I meet each day. If they ask what I did well, tell them I said yes to life. Just as long as vision lasts, I must answer yes to truth. In my dream and in my dark, always that elusive spark. If they ask what I did well, tell them I said yes to truth. Just as long as with my heart beats, I must answer yes to love. Disappointment pierced me through, still I kept on loving you. If they ask what I did well, tell them I said yes to love.
For today's opening words, let's briefly explore the topic of aesthetic force. Sarah Lewis is an associate professor of History of Art and Architecture and African and African American Studies at Harvard University. She describes aesthetic force as an internal shift that happens because of the power of the arts, oftentimes, that really shifts critical awareness and perception of the world. One example of aesthetic force is offered in her book, The Rise. How many movements began with an aesthetic encounter indelibly changed our past perceptions of the world? It was an abolitionist print, not logical argument, which dealt the final blow to the slave trade. The broadside description of a slave ship in 1789, the London print of the British slave ship Brooks, showed the dehumanizing statistical visualization with graphic precision. How legally permitted 454 men, women, and children might be accommodated through the ship, Brooks carried many more, or up to 740. The contrast between reality and the image conjured in the mind was intolerable enough to abolish the institution and was the evidentiary proof of slavery's inhumanity used in parliamentary hearings. Rational arguments alone aren't enough to cause people to change their beliefs. The arts can allow us to see past our blind spots. The arts have dramatically changed the trajectory of civil rights and justice in the world.
Each week we light our chalice, a symbol of our faith, a beacon of hope, love, and justice. We join in this lighting in solidarity and community with hundreds of other Unitarian Universalists lighting chalices today in homes and in virtual worship services, reminding us that we are connected to one another and to a larger community of faith and love. Please join me in our chalice lighting words. They're available in the chat. Let us open our eyes to see what is beautiful. Let us open our minds to learn what is true. Let us open our hearts to love one another.
When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love.
Hello, everyone. Robin is out this week, so I am your storyteller. And I want us to embody our theme of the month, creativity. If you already grabbed a drawing utensil from the welcome note, that's awesome. If you don't have a drawing utensil and paper and you still want to go get one, go ahead. Or you can just trace a drawing with your finger along your lap. I often do that whenever I'm out and about. Or you can draw it with your finger on a table in front of you. Or there's always the option of drawing by meditating with something in your mind's eye and imagining it. The drawing prompt today is a tree. In so many of my sermons, I talk about carbon-bodied siblings, trees. So now I'm inviting everyone, please draw one. While you draw, think about your tree. Does it have roots? What do they look like? How about branches? Does your tree trunk have texture? Are there leaves or are there needles? Is there fruit or flowers or none? Draw a background and a foreground too, if you'd like. While we draw, I will be singing the only tree song I know. It's a song I learned from community organizer Wendy Moore O'Neill a few years ago while I was in New Orleans. All right, is everyone ready? It's tree time. I'm also gonna be drawing. I have a whiteboard. Let's begin. This song, I don't actually know what the song's name is, but I think it's called Tree of Life. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. I've got a right to the tree of life. Done told you, I've got a right. Done told you, I've got a right. Done told you, I've got a right. I've got a right to the tree of life. My ancestors say, I've got a right. My ancestors said, I've got a right. My ancestors say, I've got a right. I've got a right to the tree of life. We're about halfway through, y'all. Keep going. I've done told you, I've got a right. Done told you, I've got a right. Done told you, I've got a right. I've got a right to the tree of life. My body knows. I've got a right, my body knows. I've got a right, my body knows. I've got a right, I've got a right to the tree of life. Last verse, y'all. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. Oh, well, well, I've got a right. I've got a right to the tree of life. Okay, I'm not gonna make you stop, but that was an invitation to stop. But this is my tree. It's quick and easy. This is a tree I often drew when I was a child. Feel free to show your trees in the video chat for those who would like to and can see. Oh, cool. We're seeing so many different kinds of trees. I'll try to describe some of them now. There's some drawn with pen, with many leaves and branches. Oh, many fruits. You've got some trees. Oh, classic line drawing trees that are just... Oh, some people have also used color, added lines into the trunk to make it more textured. Oh, fantastic. So many trees, y'all. I'm loving this. Long branches, wavy branches. I'll see. Okay, this is great. And I can imagine so many more of you, maybe you're in another context, have imagined trees. Maybe it's like a birch tree with the texture sideways and horizontal. Or maybe you have palm trees. Did someone do a palm tree? No matter what you did, I'm so glad you participated in drawing today. We will be continuing to think about our trees later on in the service. So keep them close by, add to them if you'd like. And that is our story time or our drawing time for today.
It is so good to be with you this morning, to once again be looking at your familiar faces. And what a lovely prompt to also be looking at these beautiful trees, that these insightful trees that you have that you've offered, faces of people that I love and who I have carried with me these weeks that I have been gone. I've carried you with wonder, and I will admit sometimes with worry, but always with gratitude. Always with gratitude. And it is especially also my joy to not recognize everyone here today, a marker of growth and continuation, a testament to Reverend Yadni's ministry, and a reminder that what we're doing together matters, that who and what we are matters, that who and what we are changes with every new ministry and every new member. It is good to be with you this morning and to remember to you, with you, in humble and grateful recognition of our time apart, of your time with the warmth and power of Reverend Yadni, It is good to remember all the pieces of what was and what has come to be, and to imagine in this new form what will still certainly unfurl. And so, in the spirit of remembering and that call to imagine, to co-create what will come to be because of this time apart, I ask that you now join me in a time of centering, of slowing down the movement of this hour, an invitation to turn inward, to explore the pace of our hearts, the place our bodies speak, the way the spirit moves within and among us here as we lift up the joys and sorrows, the hope and heartache that exists within us, within ourselves, but also within the body collective. Now, if you haven't heard yourself breathe in some time, try to quiet the space around you just enough. Try to listen more intently than you have, and don't just fill your lungs or your diaphragm, but listen for the rush of air into your nose. And hear how the pitch changes. Feel how your shoulders, your throat, your stomach changes as you exhale. Each Tuesday, members of this congregation receive notice of joys and sorrows that exist among us. And just this past week, many of us learned that our beloved friend, our wisdom teacher, Tony, returned to the hospital again to treat a low blood count, extending his journey toward healing and health, and furthering Kevin's, his wife's, yearning for his and for their safekeeping. We learned of our dear friend, our generous and steady companion, Ronnie, that she'll be undergoing tests to confirm a diagnosis of inoperable gallbladder cancer. Words that should never be strung together nor so close to someone that we love. Now, we know that the ampersand between Ronnie and her husband, Ed, is also inextricable, and so we cannot help but worry for and wish to comfort them both during this uncertain time. We read that Michelle Zechner, whose spirit is always so bright and clear, has been weighted with the unexpected and sudden loss of her father this week, an eruption in Michelle's life and her family's, a loss of footing and a disorientation to the world as it was. We lift up the year anniversary of the death of Tony, whose sweetness shone through despite his internal wrestlings and brought on by the sharp external world. We call into this circle his wife, Shelley, who remembers her partner in his and their fullness. There's so much that we cannot fix. There's no right language, no perfect deed to make what is painful, scary or sorrowful, something soft again. And so instead we bear the truth of life, and at our best, as our most faithful, we do so together. We vent out and care in, we show up with imperfect acts, and we try our best to listen, even though platitudes would comfort our own fearful soul. And so instead we learn and habit to breathe. Friends, will you turn to the chat? And if you are also holding a sorrow, a fear, a heartache, will you tell us now? Will you allow us to bear the truth of your life? Will you let us hold it with you imperfectly? And of course, I will try to read as many as I can, but if I miss any, they are still honored being seen by all who gather today. We lift up that there's a member of our community who shares that his tree is a great oak where druids gather, and that his wife, Judy, entered memory care just 3 months ago. We lift up that there is a return of cancer, and that it is coming on with a vengeance and a fear that it is spreading for some in our community. There is now a need to consider end-of-life care for someone that we hold close, and sorrow that Reverend Yadni is leaving us soon. Holding everyone close in the congregation, a cousin and husband who lost their pet companion of 13 years, nephews, family members of all kinds, friends who are not yet able to be vaccinated and now exposed to COVID. Chris puts up that he attended the service of a 16-year-old killed in Trenton this week. And so prayers for his family and friends and for all of us in this country who can't seem to appreciate the value of life. Linda lifts up that they lost their Uncle Hugo this week, one of the most kind and gentle people she's known. There are others among us whose family and friends are dealing with more dis-ease and disease, mental health and physical health. The ways that we are able to show up for one another and the ways that that is struck short is still in this COVID time. Please continue to add to the chat sorrows, heartaches, fears, concerns. There is so much that we cannot fix. And still, we know that somehow the spirit of life is such that both respite and joy exist too, sometimes in different seasons of our lives. Sometimes all at once, sorrow and joy become jumbled together just as they must in any prayer. And so I also lift up that it is with a heavy heart that we say goodbye to Reverend Yadini. But we also lift up all who sing her praise and give thanks, not only for her ministry, but for the way that she shared her personhood. Reverend Yadini, what comfort you brought these weeks, what challenge, what insight, what music, what joy. I am grateful for you and for your yes to serve in this capacity. My joy was to have welcomed you, but now it is to follow you. I know there are other joys among us. I've seen on Facebook the way your gardens are blooming and the pictures of reuniting with your children, your grandchildren, your friends, your church family. I would love it if you would take to the chat and tell me more. Will you allow all of us here to witness to the joy that is calling you into or helping you keep hold of life right now? Continued gratitude for Reverend Yadini is coming into the chat. Healing and communication with family members, yes, is such a long and worthy journey for some of us. Joy to spend time with a new grandchild. Connections and awakenings in the chalice circle, that sacred space that so many of us are a part of together. Knowing that coming together as a church community in the sanctuary will be coming soon enough. Simone lifts up that all of her grandchildren are coming to the beach with extended family and happy to reunite with sons and grandson after COVID. Connie and Leisha lift up. We lift up UUCWC on Zoom. We, of course, do not forget the joy for so many of us who are gathering together and will continue to, even when we are back in the sanctuary. Some of us are back in the sanctuary and others of us continue to gather with this beloved community through other ways. Please continue to include more joys, more celebrations. But as you do so, if you've already participated, if you're watching other people do so, I invite you to take this moment once more to breathe and listen and pay attention again to your body. How do your shoulders feel now? Your throat, your stomach? How is it with your spirit? And when you hear an answer, when you give an answer, allow yourself the words, blessed be, or amen, or ashe, or maybe just thank you. Let us join our voices together as we have our hearts in recognition and affirmation of all that was shared. We sing now, Spirit of Life. The words are posted in the chat.
The stirrings of compassion.
the wind, rise in the sea, move in the hand, giving life a shape of justice. Roots, hold me close, wings, set me free. Spirit of life, come to me, come to me.
I used to draw trees in a spirit of hope when I was young. When I was a kid, I fell in love with trees. I don't really remember when, but I know I was obsessed. In art class or in the margins of my notes for years, my favorite subject to paint and draw and doodle for years was trees. It's part of why we drew them today in sacred play, our own trees. I remember over the years, starting with the trunk and then tracing down and knitting the body to the earth with roots, varied in size and direction for strength. Then I would go up to the space above and pulling and reaching branches out and up, strong and diverse, reaching. I would top it off most often with lush leaves, branches full of life, and sometimes even fruit. Finally, tucking that tree into a context with grass and a horizon line and a warm, bright sun. As a tree fan, I had tree pictures in my room, tree t-shirts, tree earrings, and still to this day, one of my favorite views is to lay under a tree and watch the wind blow through the leaves dancing with sun rays. It looks like laughter. It feels like home, and it deeply relaxes me. I meditate on the image of trees in my mind's eye and have been caught hugging a few trees unironically on many walks. Simply put, I was and am a huge fan of trees. But while I was a child, I wasn't only an admirer. I also was low-key jealous of trees. I had the secret suspicion that I was more tree than human and I was missing out on this side of that species divide. I used to envy plants and lament that if I was consulted, I wouldn't have chosen this body, this country, this life. I would be a massive tree, one of thousands in a forest far from the bitter reaches of human impact. I don't think those were random escapes or fantasies. I think they were important. Esther Perel, a relationship researcher and author, defends in her therapy practice the role of fantasy. She teaches that they are skillful work within the boundaries and restrictions that are of our brain's expectations and standards and rules so that it can wiggle out loopholes for fulfilling our desires. Esther doesn't call a fantasy stupid or pointless. Instead, they are points of clarity and sources that prove we are capable of passion still when apathy or confusion feel more commonplace. Similar to Esther, I believe our fantasies are our best creative subconscious efforts to meet our needs. Fantasies are dramatic versions of the stories we wish to tell about ourselves, of how we acted shamelessly or felt pleasure or met a need or made a lasting impact. I don't think I just wanted to be a tree when I was a kid. I think I was tracing wholeness in myself when I would meticulously draw them in the margins of my notes or into sand with my finger. I wanted to exist whole and connected, not just a trunk floating in the foreground. I wanted roots, clear ties to lineage and nourishment and rest and support and communication with larger wells of wisdom. With branches, I wanted collaboration with peers. I wanted to do things differently from the past, but still utilize strong patterns. I didn't want dead ends, but fruits for my co-laboring. When I wished to be a silent tree in a secluded forest, I wasn't wishing for erasure. I was desperate to be separate from systems that cause waves of harm and oppression in so many directions. And I simultaneously wanted to be tenderly woven in a biodiverse, healthy ecosystem where I could belong and serve. Our fantasies are rich with the things that make for a nourishing vision. And how we study and apply our findings can be the character and plot difference of victim or survivor in the story of our lives. When I was a teen, I had a vivid lucid dream where a full moon was my sole object of attention. In this dream, I stared at the moon so intensely while being guided silently by it, I felt, through winding streets. And I felt like she was transferring information to me, reteaching me something in our intense and tender gaze. When in the dream or when I woke up, I can't really tell, somewhere in there, I realized something. I am a tree. I don't have to envy trees because I can learn from them. I, like a tree, do have natural connections. I have tender roots in my relationships. I can cultivate or suffocate them. I am carbon too. In a forest of many other carbon bodies, we are walking, moving trees. The earth all around us, the sky above us are full of mentors, life willing to remind me of my roots. So today, I want to get in the dirt with you. I want to get messy and real about your roots, because that is where and how we nourish the tree of our life. Take a breath, bring your awareness to the soles of your feet or to your back and spine. What do you feel filled with? When do you feel most whole and even overflowing, connected? Because roots fill you with your life force. They are the tap line to your vitality. So what are you filling yourself with? Maybe you feel empty. Are you filling yourself up with a bunch of nothing? Think of it like food. People could technically be eating and still die or get really ill from malnutrition. Why? Because it's not just that you eat, but the quality of what you eat that determines if you are intaking nourishment. We can go through the motions of spiritual practices and community and intellectual exercises or whatever, but if you are empty of the vitamins, minerals, proteins, fats, and other forms of nourishment, the life force, then they're empty. For food, it's called empty calories. But for life, it's empty gestures, empty rituals. It's hollow religions. It's unconscious traditions. It's weak philosophy. I want you to be clear about the earth you're rooted in, because we become and reproduce what we are planted in. We become and reproduce what we soak in. We become and reproduce what we're filled with, and we become and reproduce how we nourish ourselves. Thich Nhat Hanh says about eating meditation that, quote, what we eat nourishes the body, how we eat nourishes the soul. It applies to all of our life. How we live nourishes individuals and relationships, and individuals and relationships, well, they basically build the systems that we live in and shape our whole world. So before we talk about what is the nutrients, the nourishment of your life, I want you to recall what you feel when you are filled, when you are returned to a more balanced state, not just eating, I'm talking about your life. What do you feel in your body, in your heart, in your mind when you are well, when you are connected, when you are rested, when you are safe, when you're playful? Remember a time for yourself that you felt these things. Like everything, at least in that moment, was all right. Maybe you are painting or laying in a hammock. Maybe someone was playing with your hair. Maybe you were tending to your garden or doing yoga or laughing with children or lying in a pool at a base of a waterfall or sitting in nature. Have you recalled how you felt humble, holy, whole, expansive, simple, and at ease, content? There is wisdom and a blessing in the Bible on this nourishment. In Ephesians 3, chapter 3, verses 16 through 19, in the NIV translation, there relays a blessing from Paul to a community he cares for. To emphasize my point, I'm omitting God and the pronoun he for the word life. Think life like capital L, life, which our bodies lunge for even when under pressure. Life which organizes for pleasure and liberation and flourishing. Life which is inherently interconnected like a network. Life which pre-programmed our bodies to heal and seek resolution. Life which clearly loves us so and moves through the building blocks of carbon on this planet. Ready? Paul says, I pray that out of life's glorious riches, life may strengthen you with power through the spirit of life in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all of life's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of life, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of life. Paul writes about being filled with an expansive, emboldening, connecting love through one's roots in love, love for life. Christ, I believe, in many ways is a representation of holy remembering. Jesus's ministry and message was so much about remembering one's inherent worth, inherent dignity, remembering one's place in the ecosystem, remembering one's right to the divine, remembering one's connection and responsibility to others, one's power, passion, compassion, delight, curiosity, creativity, empathy. This is what I want you to remember. You don't have to wait around for those high dose nutrient dense experiences on vacation or going to an expensive spa or some other obstacled experience. We can cultivate and multiply ease with personal practices every day. I call them posture practices. Daily posture practices could be seated or walking meditation. It could be yoga, gratitude journaling, tarot, chanting, praying, resting, singing, rowing, meditating with a flame or a guided app. A personal posture practice is whatever you dedicate yourself to now that is accessible to your needs for now, which you use as a vessel for your nourishment of remembering throughout your body who you are. I'll say that again because that's loaded. A personal posture practice is whatever you dedicate yourself to now that is accessible to your needs now, which you use as a vessel for the nourishment of remembering throughout your body who you are. These intentional posture practices are packed opportunities for nourishing your roots and flowing love into and throughout your life. And if this sounds woo-woo or like some whole new thing you'd have to start, I have some news for you. You already have posture practices. They just may not be intentional. But don't be fooled. Just because they aren't conscious doesn't mean they aren't training and affirming a posture or a fractal, a pattern in your mind, in your body, in your life. You know a tree by its fruits and you nourish a tree by its roots. What posture practices are you rooted in? Do you meticulously pull ideas apart? And are you an expert at pessimism and lack? Do you know hopelessness and fear intimately? Have you got a real grip on scarcity, a disbelief in your worthiness, an apathy for fellow humans? Do you ignore, shame, abuse, or avoid your body? These posture practices bring forth sickly trees, ill, tired, hurting people. I want to invite you into two steps to curate and fortify the tree, the carbon life that you and I are. First is have intentional posture practices. This won't always be ecstasy. In fact, it will uncover and reveal the weeds of shame and fear and scarcity in your own heart. If you're really getting into your intentional posture practice, you will come up to the growing edges of your attention, will build a what can be cleansing tension. When it is clear to you that there is dissonance with your highest values and your current lived practice, employ the tools of empathy, and compassion, and curiosity to continue to be with that revelation. Let your intentional posture practice of your choosing move you through the tension and aid you in the tender and disorienting journey of replanting yourself, relocating your roots, and healing into nourishing soil. Second, only 2 points today, y'all. The second point is relationships, relationships, relationships. Our context is built primarily of our relationships to people and family and ancestors, land, animals, institutions, systems. Does your nourishing life have diverse and full forms of nourishment? Remember, we become and reproduce what we nourish ourselves with. I like to say that just like it takes a village to raise a child, it takes a village to fortify a leader, and you are a leader, and you need a village. You need many people and practices and books and communities and sources of fortification. The goal here is not just quantity. We're still in this for the quality, okay, y'all? But I'm inviting you to orient towards abundance. Welcome and invest in more than one or two nourishing friendships that you can lean on and give to. Do you feel a sense of home for parts of yourself with more than one group or community that you can regularly spend time with? Full people have full lives, not busy lives, nourishing ones. Maybe you need to shift your calendar so you're spending more time in mutually nourishing relationships and less in one-sided or unconscious ones. Maybe you need to shift your calendar to serve more or savor more or find spaces you can do both at the same sacred time. We are incredibly powerful, and we are the steward responsible for our trees. Here at UUCWC, I hope y'all continue to be one of the many sources of nourishment that you can co-curate in your nourishing life. I hope you continue to offer spaces that are sacred in their meeting of savoring and serving. And I hope you are in relationships with people here and beyond, which are nourishing and growing. I hope each of you knows the most easeful, love-rooted, abundant, and connected vision you have for yourself is holy and precious, and that you can build it through analyzing the roots of your fantasies, having intentional posture practices, curating your relationships, your relationships, your relationships. May it be so.
Half of each week's financial affirmation, excluding pledges, is given to organizations in our community and in the world that affirm our eight principles. To make a donation, you may use the church website, donate through PayPal, set up e-banking, or send a check through the mail directly to the church. For more information, please visit the UUCWC website. The link is in the chat. Remember to assist our treasurer by noting on your check or the memo line of your PayPal donation that your gift is for the weekly plate. Your generosity and affirmation is greatly appreciated.
These are my last parting words with y'all, and I want to thank you for being a warm community and the work this community has done in self and social awareness, cultivating curiosity and empathy, and deep loving loyalty to pursuing freedom for all is rich soil, and the fruits of nourishing relationships is evident. I have enjoyed serving as your parental leave minister, and I'm so glad to welcome Reverend Kim back, who is preaching next week on creativity. May you remember you are beloved and go from here and be love. May you engage intentional posture practices that align you with healing and liberation and flourishing. May you have many reminders that peppered into your lifestyle from authors and writers and artists of who you are. And may you connect with our carbon siblings and live a life which heals and savors and serves. Much love.
What a joy to be a part of this morning's service. Thank you everyone who participated. That means all of you for showing up this morning. If you have a chalice lit at home, let's lift them together and say the words found in the chat. We extinguish this chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These remain kindled until we meet again.